The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. It's Professor James Balfour Tubbs III.
Second, junior.
Second, dang it. I tried to channel Kathy so hard. I really did.
Yeah, no, she always remembered junior. Yes.
How's it going, Jim?
It's going pretty well, actually, for a Friday afternoon.
Yes. Bless you. That's great. Yep. It is. It's we have been blessed. I tell you, I guess we're under like a major drought right now in Michigan, but I can handle it. Like it's all right. This weather is pretty spectacular, gotta say. Yeah.
Well, I am pleased to see the color that we've managed to get.
Right.
It's looking good.
Right. It's probably only gonna be around for another couple weeks, if that. And then it'll be wintertime in many respects. Continuing around the horn here, Professor Dave Chow. Good to see you here, Dave.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
You posted on Facebook very early this morning, who wants to go to a 7-Eleven run? And of course, my alarm goes off at 4 a.m. every day, but I was awake at 3 a.m. when you originally posted that.
And actually, 4 o'clock is my usual mid-morning break for 7-Eleven.
Got it. Mid-morning break.
It's kind of like, okay, you've been sitting too long. Your butt's going to fuse. Get up, stretch, go to 7-Eleven. So,
got it.
Do not want to end up like a roll-on. So,
my eyes darted to the time of post. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he just did this. I should reply and be like, let's do this, man.
I'm up. I mean, honestly, I miss like, do you remember like the lantern in downtown Royal Oak?
Oh, yes, the lantern. Oh,
I used to go there 3-4 in the morning just for fun.
How about Nello's on Woodward at Lincoln, man? I mean, that was a big hangout for
what
us.
What is it now?
It's changed, right? That yeah, it's a different restaurant now, I think.
Zoe's House of Pancakes.
Pancakes.
Yes, Zoe's House of Pancakes. Those, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Heather Hill.
Thank you for calling my tones dulcet.
Well, they are. I'm just being honest here. That's all.
No, that's sweet.
Have you been to Zoe's before, Heather?
I have not, but I have been to Nello's.
Back in the day.
Dave Kokel said it was a really good restaurant, was it?
It was.
Yeah. It was, yeah. I mean, if you wanted cheese sticks at 2 a.m., you were getting cheese sticks. I mean, that's just the way that restaurant used to roll. I'm actually bolstered in my memory of the world that you have actually been there, Heather. I think that that's great. I think about high school Matt Mayo being there at a time when you would have been there and like our paths crossing even before we knew each other or something, you know, anything's possible.
Aww.
Oh,
anything's possible.
Oh,
a touching back to the past moment.
Exactly.
Fire up the DeLorean.
Professor Aaron Bell is here with us today. You were in a different locale, Aaron.
I am. I'm in Traverse City. I'm at a conference. And the weird thing is, I think I was also awake for that 7-Eleven post last week. Little travel insomnia. So I was like, oh, I'd go to 7-Eleven right now, but I'm in Traverse City teaching and learning.
Or if anybody wants to go out late night snacking, I'm all for that too. Is IHOP still open till?
I would have been for it, man. What about RJ? Mm. Did you ever do the RJs? That was my spot. That was my 2 a.m. Royal.
Yeah, I did that too. Yep.
Yeah.
Good time.
There is nary a restaurant in existence that hasn't felt the wrath of an early morning snack run by Dave Chow. That is for dang sure.
I know the 24-hour outlets within a 10-mile radius of me, so.
R&J. Wow, this is becoming, as always, hearkening back to food. It only takes a couple seconds. But we'll go on and introduce Professor Beth Oldjar.
Denny's was our spot for 2 in the morning food runs, right? True?
Yep.
Yep.
It's all good.
Dare I say, moons over my hammy? I mean, come on. This is the Grand Slam breakfast. You just can't go wrong.
Nope. Couldn't go wrong with Denny's.
That's awesome.
Rudy Tooty, fresh and fruity.
I had a friend who claimed once that he just wanted to order that. No, I don't actually want it. I just want to say those words to you as the waiter, as the waitress, that sort of thing.
I'm just picturing in the kitchen when the waitress goes up to the counter and yells across to the cook, all those terms. I mean,
I know. How do you not laugh while you're taking orders?
Part of the joy.
We're being joined today, and we're very thankful to have Professor Mara Livesey with us. There's a lot of different areas we could cover here, Mara. So you grew up in Metro Detroit, but then you sort of went to high school in a different place. Like, where's the late night snacking joint? Well, what sticks into your mind?
Tim Hortons?
So it was never Tim Hortons. There was a diner, maybe it was on Carlton Street in Toronto. There was like a late night diner, and that's where we'd go for like late night breakfast food.
Hmm. Poutine? Would you eat poutine?
Well, not so much in Toronto, and not so much when, you know, I was trying to maintain my almost nothing body when I was a ballerina.
And not in the middle of the night either.
And not in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool, though. I think that everybody's got a version of that. Like, I could ask you a different version and say, where in Urbana and or Champaign were you going out late when you were a grad student? And that'd be a totally different answer. Yeah. Totally different. We had a nice little bar back in my day called The Office, so that we could say we were working late at The Office. It was very, very nice.
Very nice.
Matt, wasn't there one on 4th on the way into Royal Oak? Was that the... No, was it...
It's called The Office. No, it is. So. Yeah, it's a coffee shop, though, not a bar. Look out for these Facebook posts, everybody, because adventure will follow. Last but most certainly not least, we're joined by Professor Stephen Manning. What's up, Stephen?
How is everyone doing this Friday afternoon?
Much better now that it's Friday afternoon, Stephen.
Yeah, good, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How does Friday afternoon every day sound to you?
Good. This one's a little different. We just got back from downtown to pick up we were at the expo to pick up our marathon stuff for Sunday.
That's right. Oh, okay. Time for the Free Press Marathon.
Is it a full marathon or a half marathon? Or
half. A little bit of apprehension between now and Sunday.
Oh, my.
I find myself looking at the weather on the phone every 20 minutes or so. Is it going to be windy? Is it going to rain? What am I going to wear? So,
unlike me, every day.
Do we have to hang like a donut in front of you for, you know, or like...
Tiara, Stephen, like every other day. That's what you wear.
Yeah, so hopefully Sunday by I don't know, 11 o'clock or something, it will all be over.
That's right, that's right. And I want to remind the listeners that Heather has regaled us with both tale and pictures from the beer and punschke run a few years ago. So I feel like once you've conquered that, you pretty much can conquer anything. Yes. Let's be serious.
Yeah, there's a difference between 13 miles and 3 miles.
True.
Yeah, 10 miles, in fact.
No beer and punschke at the end of this one.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No.
Water and bananas.
Hey, folks, this is a program where you can marathon us questions regarding anything. If you stump one of the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump one of the panel, you can win a prize doing that, too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay, we've got a set of questions that are originally written by Arika Okrent of Mental Floss. This is pretty cool stuff. 12 old words that survived by getting fossilized in idioms. That's the overarching thing today.
Heather will be the expert on old words.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hmm? I'm sorry, I wasn't even paying attention.
Don't worry about it. You volunteered already.
Here's the overarching. I saw this article on Mental Floss and I couldn't help it. It's a nice little compact group of questions here that I think will serve us well. English has changed a lot in the last 100 years. There are many words once used that we no longer recognize today. For whatever reason, we started pronouncing them differently, stopped using them entirely, or they became obsolete. Here are some old words, however, that are nearly obsolete, but we still recognize them because they were lucky enough to get stuck into phrases that have been used across the centuries. So we have 12 idioms here. Let's see what we can do. You rarely see this word without the word way following soon behind it.
Herds.
Birds.
I'm going to finish the clue first. Okay. There are a couple sentences long. I'm sorry. I didn't give a heads up about that. You can blank your way through a crowd or down a hill, but no one blanks their way to bed or school. There was a time when English speakers would blank to all kinds of places. Blank was just another word for go, mostly from Old English.
Mosey?
No.
All right.
The past tense of this word is went.
Wend.
Wend is the word. Yes.
Yes.
You wend your way down the street, but you don't wend your way to school. It's kind of interesting, right? Yes, exactly.
And you don't curds and whey either.
That's also true.
It's still a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Great for poutine. Oh, sorry.
According to people like Heather and Aaron and people who study this sort of thing, people were using both until solidly the 15th century, when overnight went stuck, but wend went away. So there you go.
I think Chaucer used wend fairly frequently, didn't he?
That sounds about right.
No, never.
Stephen just cracks up. Oh my gosh. Let's see what we can do with this next one.
I crack up because that happens to me all the time. No, never. I was actually thinking when you said the way, and my first reaction was, I think the magic word is anchors.
Oh.
Way off.
Here's another one, professors. This word that we are thinking of is not the dry and sandy kind, nor the sweet post-dinner kind. It comes from an old French word for deserve. It literally means, from the English 13th century, that which is deserved. When you get blank, you get your due.
Dessert.
Desserts.
With one S.
Just desserts with one S. Oh. Everybody thinks that people are spelling it wrong, but that is correct.
I always have to explain that whenever I'm talking about the concept of dessert in class. Like, these aren't the things you eat.
Oh. It's more like getting your just dessert.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Actually, I just envisioned when you were saying that, Beth, that there's like literally a unit in Philosophy 1000 that's like, we're talking about dessert today. This is really important.
Deservedly so.
Another one. If we see this word at all these days, it's when we blank out a living.
Eek.
Eek.
Eek. Yes, it's eek. Comes from an old verb meaning to add, supplement, or grow. It's the same word that gave us ek name or eek name for additional name, which later, though misanalysis of an eek name, became nickname for the record. That's kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
All this time, I thought it came from mice.
Yeah, like standing on a stool, hiking up your petticoat or something like that, too.
Right, exactly. Let's try another here. This is a tricky phrase. This is often miswritten as the word slight for good reason. Not only does the expression convey an image of light, nimble fingers, which fits well with the smallness implied by slight, but an alternate expression for the concept is legerdemain, from the French, literally meaning light in the hand.
Sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand, yeah.
Slight. Yeah. S-L-E-I-G-H-T is completely different, but most people write it as S-L-I-G-H-T. Yep, that's right.
Sounds about right.
And thaumaturge also means magician.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yep. Okay.
That language, I swear, that language is tons of fun. Blank comes from the oldest of Old English, where it originally referred to a blow struck with a sword or other weapon. It came to stand for the whole idea of subduing something by force and is now fossilized in our expression by blank of X, where X can stand for your charisma, your hard work, your smarts.
A dint?
It's a dint. Yes. Dint. A dint. Ooh. Anything you use to accomplish something else. Yeah. By the way, just putting it out there, don't know how many fans there are attached to our show or this panel, but a lot of these words are coming up in the Rings of Power, the new Tolkien series on Amazon, because they're getting deep into that old English action. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, Drew's been watching that.
Tons of fun. Nowadays, we see this word in the expression to run blank over something.
Roughshod?
Roughshod.
A roughshod. Okay.
Yes. It means we tyrannize or treat harshly. A roughshod horse had its shoes attached with protruding nail heads in order to get a better grip on a slippery road. Ouch.
Where's that farrier when you need one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not good for the horse's feet, but...
Or the bodies of your enemies.
Yes. It's literally exactly the next sentence. It's like, this is great for keeping the horse on its feet, but not so great for being stepped on. Yes. Roughshod. Here's a good one. Classic. The blank of two and blank is a fossilized remnant of Northern English or Scottish, and it's a way of pronouncing the word from.
From.
Fro?
It's fro. It's fro. To and fro.
Oh. Sorry, I'm thinking Ben Wallace.
Nice. Fear the fro.
Yeah.
A lot of the, I don't even want to call it stereotyping, let's say character development in the Tolkien series is that the proto-hobbits speak a very Irish English, and the proto-dwarves speak a very Scottish English, and it kind of shows where Tolkien may have been coming from. I think I might be in love with Durin the Third. I'm just going to put that out there. He's a great character. Great character.
The beard.
Yes, exactly. The blank of blank and cry, the expression for the noisy clamor of a crowd.
Hue and cry.
Yes, it's a hue. This is the only one on the list that I had never heard before. It comes from the Old French, which is basically an onomatopoeia that's from hoot, like making a noise, basically.
Oh.
The hoot and cry of the crowd. Yeah, Old French, and I do my Irish accent. Let's do another one. The blank part of blank and kin came from an Old English word referring to knowledge or acquaintance.
Kith.
Kith.
Hmm.
Kith and kin. Yes.
Sounds like you have a lisp.
Your country and your family. Yep, absolutely. Very well done. When you leave somebody here, you leave them in a jam or a difficult position.
A lurch?
Yeah, it's the lurch. You leave them in the lurch.
I was going to say a rock and a hard place, but...
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but not old. So.
Mm-hmm. For the record, the balance-related lurch comes from nautical vocabulary, while the lurch you get left in comes from an old French backgammon style that was called lorch. It's actually a game. Lurch became a general term for a situation of beating your opponent by a huge score. So if you leave them in a lurch, you're leaving them behind.
But isn't lurch now more like a sudden jolt or something like that?
Right.
Or your car lurches to the left or something?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a character on the Addams Family.
There we go. There we go.
The real lurch.
Yep. I'm looking in a decidedly Mara direction for this next one. This word comes from an old French meaning shade or shadow. It was once used to talk about actual shade from the sun. It took on various figurative meanings having to do with doubt and suspicion or the giving and taking of offense. To give blank was to offend somebody.
Pro shade. Sorry.
Yeah, well, actually, that's what it says. But it's a very famous character from Harry Potter that I know Mara knows well.
I'm not sure I'm going to get this one. I need more of a hint.
Oh, I definitely can give you a really good hint, and I was hoping you would ask. So if I lean into my microphone and go, him.
What?
Oh, that's such a good hint.
Put her on the spot.
That's Umbridge.
It's Umbridge is what you're getting. Yes, Umbridge. Oh. There's nothing like taking an old school term, very classic J.K. Rowling, and putting it into the minds of a million young people by naming someone after that word. So, Professor Umbridge.
There's a great cat meme that shows a cat and it says, "What is Umbridge and why would I take it?"
And why would I knock it off the edge of a table?
And bury it.
Exactly. One more, professors. You've done absolutely incredible. Arika Okrent, by the way, is a linguist and the author of an awesome book, In the Land of Invented Languages. We got one more here. We might not know what a blank is anymore, but we know we don't want to get a short one. Blank was a word for confession, something it seems we might want to keep short.
Shrift.
It's shrift.
Yes,
a shrift. It's more like a penance imposed by a priest, something we would definitely want to keep short. But the phrase short shrift came from the practice of allowing a little time for the condemned to make a confession before you chopped their head off.
Ooh.
So kind.
Well done. Like
that sounds like a sound effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's enough. Off with your head.
I'm getting like almost a Law and Order vibe. It's like you take your one phone call, you know, and then it's all going down after that.
Oh no, but this is that poignant speech on the scaffold, you know, but you don't want to bore everybody to death either. You don't want to be remembered that way.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I know it's switching gears just a bit, but I hesitate to not use these last couple questions from our last question set that was sent in by Kimberly Richards of Van Nuys, California. I think we can finish them off. They're all over the map, so it sort of fits. How many calories a day does the average sled dog consume during Alaska's grueling 1,100-mile Iditarod?
5,000.
8,000.
It's higher.
10?
15,000.
I mean, where's Kendra when you need her? It's 11,000 calories per day. Wow. Much of it coming from a high-performance dry dog food called kibble, supplemented by soupy gruel made of various meats, fowl, and fish. When mushers stop at the checkpoints or just along the trail, they'll melt snow in their cook pots, add kibble to the hot water, which gives additional hydration. Treats along the trail are typically such as chunks of moist frozen meat or fish. The mushers themselves tend to gravitate to the same foods as hikers and campers. Vacuum sealed packages of soup, pasta, and pizza.
Oh, but yum, that soupy gruel.
With the kibble in it. Yeah, that's really what would make it.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it even better, right?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
There goes the ATP food order. So.
Oh, well, that's what it takes sometimes. Okay. In the 1983 film comedy, Trading Places, what product did scheming millionaire brothers Mortimer and Randolph Duke try to corner the market in?
Orange juice.
Yeah. They were trying to create frozen concentrated orange juice, which is actually a thing. The brothers were played by longtime character actors Don Ameche and Ralph Bellamy, with Saturday Night Live alum Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy as the principal co-stars. The brothers do not succeed, being tricked by Aykroyd's character, Lewis Winthorpe III, and Murphy's character, Billy Ray Valentine, who the Dukes used as their foil to achieve the same, who sets off retaliation by telling Winthorpe, "It occurs to me the best way to hurt rich people is by turning them into poor people." Famous line from the movie. Yes. Oh, really, really funny stuff. One more, folks. One more. In 1973, Arabella and Anita went to space. Who were Arabella and Anita?
Bugs?
Mice?
Dogs?
Rats? So from mice, dog, and rats, you're going to need to go backwards in animal complexity.
Chimpanzees.
Bees?
Oh, you're going forward, Stephen. I need you to go back.
Earthworms.
Mara and Beth are getting quite a bit closer.
Why?
Salamanders.
Bees, ants.
Tardigrades.
Oh, there you go. They don't even need a spacesuit. You know what? Arabella and Anita were spiders. They were spiders.
Oh. Were they stowaways or did they go intentionally?
No, they went intentionally. They were part of a student experiment to study the ability of arachnids to weave webs when they are weightless.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they were orb weavers, if I remember right. So to see if they were going to. Yeah.
Did they succeed?
You know, I'm checking it out here. It says also on board were 720 fruit fly pupae.
There you go.
Six pocket mice, two minnows, and 50 minnow eggs. Arabella and Anita both died. Unfortunately, their bodies remain at the Smithsonian. That's cool. Memorialized for their small vital part in increasing our knowledge of space. The experiment proves spiders can spin nearly Earth-like webs or orbs in space.
Cool.
Oh,
kind of cool.
So they succeeded in the experiment, but just died from the trip.
I believe that is what's being implied here. Also, because it's classic Kimberly Richards with the very last question, the names of the 720 fruit fly pupae were not included in the report where I found this question.
Check the manifest. Check the manifest.
They didn't talk to Jacob Kagi.
Exactly. That's exactly who I was thinking of here.
He would have named all those fruit fly baby.
Yes, he would have. And told us about their genomes, too.
Indeed.
All right. It's time for the Ask the Professor Imponderables from the Family Burrows. And ooh, this is kind of interesting. I feel like we might converge a little bit on this, but what's your favorite thing to get through the Postal Service?
Ooh.
Does the Postal Service include Amazon and stuff like that? Or
how's about that? Is that a delivery thing?
Yeah, just something that comes to your house based on delivery. That would be totally fine.
Okay. For me, it's auction items. I know that. So.
Ah, because you're auctioning a lot. I mean, yes, you're bidding a lot.
Yes, my tiki items that I get.
Cool. Nice. Nice.
It used to be Fine Cooking, which was my favorite cooking magazine until they went kaput.
Aww.
But catalogs are fun, especially like Williams Sonoma and Crate and Barrel, and especially at Christmas, right? Because you always get a ton of them.
I would say a personal letter because they're getting so rare.
What? Yeah, a personal who?
That's true.
Penmanship? A stamp? An envelope?
A personal text. Oh, how nice. How moving. Yeah.
Another blast from the past, a birthday card with a check.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a biggie.
Yeah.
Somehow that Venmo doesn't have the same gravitas as, yeah.
I like getting plants or flowers.
That's a good one.
Of course, the green thumb. We haven't heard from Aaron and Mara yet.
I'm just thinking of when I was living abroad, having people send me food that like I couldn't get, you know, like good peanut butter or something like that.
Nice.
I always like getting food in the mail.
And food in general is good, yes.
Mara, you know, just made me think about my childhood because, you know, my grandparents were still in Hong Kong at the time. So we'd get all kinds of weird, wacky groceries. Like, what's this funny thing? Or, you know.
Cool.
My comic books as a kid.
I had a friend who was in a Benedictine Abbey on the Isle of Wight. And the biggest treat she ever got in the mail was peanut butter from the U.S. because it was not available locally.
Aaron, what about you?
You're making me think of when my grandma used to bring back all the good chocolate from Scotland, which, again,
food.
But is it too pedestrian to just say I love when my books come from Amazon?
No.
Like,
oh, no.
Yeah,
you get
great.
It.
That's
awesome. Absolutely cool.
Don't you love getting the little, you're four stops away from your package?
I know that at the Mayo House, when we get the freeze frame picture saying it was delivered,
yes,
right?
Here it is on your front porch.
Mm-hmm. We need to, see what hilarious decorations are already around our house that are part of that image. So there he is.
Hello, Kenai.
There he is.
Yep. 11,000 calories, kiddo. 11,000 calories.
Well, they had to put him on a diet.
Professors, I'm so sorry. It looks like we reached the end of the show and possibly the end of our rope too. So the time has come to say goodbye, Stephen.
Goodbye.
Mara.
Bye.
Beth.
Goodbye.
Aaron.
Bye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Jim.
Goodbye.
Now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.